All right, welcome back to the boys at 161st Street. Fresh off a nice 8-1 start to the season. Sweep against the Red Sox. Nice dub against the Phillies after a rain delay, of course. Three things that are promised in life. It's death, taxes, and rain delays for the Yankees this year. But we got a lot to talk about. Happy episode. Some debates going on. Let's get after it. All right. Welcome back. Kev, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing, man? Really good to be here. Happy to be here kind of guy.
Big happy to be here kind of guy. So we're going to get into it right now. It's pretty late, kind of tired, but Yankees won, so let's talk about it. So we just swept the Red Sox, got a nice dub against the Phillies, Gerrit Cole. I would say shoved, but he really, I don't know. Do you think he shoved? I feel like we haven't seen A stuff yet.
Not A Gerrit Cole stuff, I wouldn't say. The reason for my absence, for all my people out there, I've been Coach Kev all summer. We have some social distancing baseball going on here in Stamford, Connecticut. So I've been out coaching doubleheaders almost every game that the Yankees have played. So I caught the beginning of his first start. I caught two innings of that. I caught one inning of his Orioles start. And I caught zero innings of him tonight. So I watch after and try to like get a gauge on it. Meanwhile, I'm getting updates on my phone all the time of like Gerrit Cole gives up home run, which he has done all three of his starts, which is not ideal, but like he works out of jams. He's striking people out. He's getting the outs. It's just, I feel like it's not as pretty as we've all expected. But I do think that it doesn't help that we spent all offseason, an elongated offseason, watching the Gerrit Cole overlay of the fastball, slider, and curveball. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just sitting on a pitching ninja.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I've definitely only watched so much. I mean, we were only watching his highlights, and that was a good point, too, because we've never actually seen Cole work. Like, we've never seen him work through a game. Like, we've seen him pitch against the Yankees, but we've never actually seen him, like, get through, like, the bottom of the second in a random regular season game. Like we don't know how he operates, and we just see the numbers at the end of the year when he has a 2.205 ERA and 326 strikeouts, whatever the hell it is. And then we don't see like the in-between stuff, which obviously we see with other players too. Like, I don't know, Chapman, who looks like he's not having a good start and his numbers indicate that he is doing well, you know, because it's the eye test thing. So it is weird finally seeing him pitch. And I mean, obviously, if you haven't looked at the individual games and you see the numbers, he's 3-0. As wins don't really matter that much as a statistic, but he's 3-0. He doesn't have a high ERA. Tonight he went six innings pitched, one run. He hasn't really ever done bad. We're not saying he did bad by any means.
He's not bad at all. He's been good. But
yeah, but it's just not shove territory.
We have elevated expectations because of what we saw, but like we also have to take into account when we're watching him against the Yankees in the playoffs last year, we're rooting so hard against this guy. Mm-hmm. And when we're not hitting him, it's like, wow, this guy's actually fucking untouchable. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And when somebody's on the other team, everything looks scarier too. And then it's just the bias of whatever team you're rooting for. Like whenever we're on the mound, even if it's Judge or whatever, we're like, this dude stinks, like he's not good, and you overemphasize the bad stuff. Yeah. And then when you're seeing somebody else, they're like, they look like superhuman. So I can only imagine how Judge looks to other teams, the other fans, like when they play him, like how Aleta feels.
Last year playoffs, seeing fucking Bregman get up, and I was
shitting my pants.
My stomach would drop. Yeah. Like I hated it. That must really suck.
Judge gets up. No, even when somebody what?
Not a Red Sox shirt. This is a UCLA Bruins sweatshirt. Please just don't attack me in the comments.
Yeah, for those who aren't watching or just listening, Kev's wearing a shirt that very much has the same B as the Boston. It's literally the same font. I never even thought UCLA. had the same logo, but it's a Bruins logo. It's not a Sox logo. That actually is a tough sweatshirt to be wearing right now after we swept the Sox. It looks like you're just fully a Red Sox fan. It's in context.
I'm a Yankees fan.
Okay. Yeah. He's on the Yankees podcast. So anyway, so we'll talk a little bit more about Cole when we break down the recent game. So let's start with the Red Sox series. The game one, Montgomery gets the start. And honestly, I think he looked pretty good. He went 5.2, one earned, four Ks. And he didn't do fantastic, but he didn't do bad. So when you look at a guy like Montgomery, and he had some good showings in spring training, and I liked what I saw out of him, he is a huge part of this team because, honestly, when you look past Cole, who, like we said, doesn't really have his A-plus stuff, I'm not even going to say that anymore. He looks good. I just want him to shove. But when you look past him, things look a little thin, and Montgomery needs to be one of those. We were talking about him for the fifth starter and like fourth starter range. He needs to be like one of the two or maybe three starter on this rotation, like one of the main guys. Because obviously Paxton doesn't really have it. We'll break that down a little bit more and how he just looks like shit. But I mean, Montgomery might be one of the most important pitchers on this team aside that isn't named Garrett Cole.
Right now, yeah. I mean, you can't even debate that. Everybody who's not named Garrett Cole's, everybody who is named and everybody else, they're all really important. Obviously, we don't have Seve. I thought Montgomery looked good.
Domingo?
No. And
Domingo had to do a bad guy thing and then retire from baseball and unretire from baseball. So, he unretired, so we might get him back for the playoffs.
But are we going to even throw him in? Like, you can't just do that. He hasn't pitched all season. Now, here, playoffs.
Oh, DJ didn't really play, and then he just comes out, bats 500. So different. And I know. Honestly, no, but on topic. No, I'm not even going to say it. It was so off topic. What were you saying?
Well, I'm saying, like, yeah, they're all really important right now. And for Montgomery, like, he hasn't pitched in a long time. So if he comes back, throw him well, that's really good because, one, he's a lefty. And, two, without Paxton on his game and without Tanaka ready to pitch full starts, it's really Cole and Montgomery right now. I'm ready for Clark. I need Schmidt.
I've been saying that. I don't know what his role is going to be on this team though, because you got King who's already on the roster, so you got to believe he gets the next nod. If an opening occurs, because people forget J Happ stinks like poop. He pitched in whatever he pitched in the last game against.
No,
before this game we're breaking down, right? Yeah, he sucks. Either way, I don't want to see J Happ start another game.
I want him to get lost.
I want Cashman to just drop him off in the woods and just take his phone away and let him get lost. But yeah,
I saw a tweet the other day. It said J Happ's career ended game one of the ALDS against the Red Sox, and it's what I've been thinking.
I feel that.
I haven't put it into words, but like,
yeah.
I remember being at one of the bars at school watching that ALDS game and Hap just shit the bed. And I was like, wow, why the hell did we trade for this guy?
I remember specifically that game too, because I remember it zoomed in on like his hand at one point and he was shaking like a motherfucker.
Yeah,
and we were all thinking like, this dude sucks. But he had done well before that in the season. And honestly, we're not going to shit on him too much because last year he did have a productive year. But he's one of those players that, like, the numbers will show you he's doing one thing, and not that he did that well, but he is capable by the numbers. But when you see him on the mound, he looks like he's lost, and he looks so just helpless, kind of like Paxton's been looking. So I don't know. It's just this.
I don't like his bug eyes.
Yeah.
I don't like the way he looks when, like, something bad. Like, he's used to bad things happening, and that's how Paxton's getting, bro. It's getting to the point where, like, Paxton gives up a run in the first inning, and he's like, happened again.
Today sucks, right? So, and then just snowballs. Like, I said that last episode too, and some guy was just shitting on us on Twitter about it. He's like, Paxton's it's the Greg Bird resurgence bandwagon guy.
Worst.
Fuck that guy. But I hope he's listening. If you're listening, I don't like you. It was me. I was the one responding to you. But I sent some funny things to him. but what was I saying about him? Oh, he was saying that Paxton is a top 15 pitcher in the MLB, And honestly, maybe Paxton last year looked like it, but I can name 15 pitchers that are much better than him. So I'm not even going to be, I like Paxton. I liked him before. This is just not the Paxton that we're used to seeing. And yeah, obviously you see it with his fucking fastball is lost 5 miles per hour completely. And he is a guy who relies on his fastball. He's 100 mile per hour. He touches 100. He averages like 95.4 in 2019. In the first inning of the last start, he averaged 91.6 and maxed at 92.9. His max in 2019 was 100. So just like a guy who's a fastball pitcher and has a dominant fastball, relies on it, who loses his fastball, that's not good.
Obviously.
I looked at some of the numbers, and are we getting to Paxton now? Because we were talking about game one, but let's just get into Paxton. Fuck him. So,
but just the pitching as a whole, we'll go over. But my thing with like Paxton is not even in the same conversation as J.A. Happ for me. I like dislike J.A. Happ. Paxton's just, he's not right now. And I'm not the biggest number guy. I always say this. Yes, I believe in them. But like you could tell Paxton's off. I don't need somebody to tell me what the ERA is. Like, he's pitching like shit right now.
I mean, the miles per hour are that's
That's not even stats. That's
performance awesome on the field. That's what you're doing on a daily basis. It'd be like Judge and I don't know. Just go ahead.
But yeah, I like Paxton. I'm not ready to give up on Paxton. I know a lot of people like Paxton has very split fans in terms of the Yankees. I feel like some people are so high on Paxton and some people are just like, he actually sucks. I don't care what the numbers say. I'm like, I think he's good. And I think when he's on, he's one of the best pitchers. I don't think he's top 15 in MLB by any,
I don't think it's that close. I think I can name a lot better pitchers.
I'm not giving up on him, but I think he needs an IL stint right now. I think he needs to go back and figuring it out. Cause like even in the scrimmages before the season, he didn't look good. Like Judge and Stanton are hitting home runs off him. And he's like, yeah, I'd love to see those guys hit home runs, but I guess it's bad that it's off me. Yeah. That's not good. That's not ideal at all.
Yeah, no. He just looks, like I said in the last episode, he looks like a kind of a lost dog out there. And when he's similar to Tanaka in the sense that he gives up a home run in the first, clearly he gets the home runs in the first every time. But then he just snowballs and he gets worse and worse. And that's the difference between Cole. Cole gives up a home run and he gets pissed off and he just shoves and he just retires the next 15. But
yeah,
that's the difference between them two. But back to game one, the other storyline there was Gardy getting the hit for the first time. So that was huge for him. Gardy, I don't know. Gardy just seems like we just have so many good outfielders that I'm not going to get back into this conversation. And I'm looking at Gardy on the TV right now. He looks so happy in the post game. But he hit some run and he needed that more than his next breath. And I'm happy for the guy.
Yeah. I mean, this is the problem with Gardner is that I've been saying this for the last 4 years. And I've been wrong every year up until this point. It looks like that it's his job to lose. Like, I think the Yankees are just waiting for somebody to push him out. And nobody's been able to do it because the guy hits 25, 28, 30 home runs every season. And it's like, wow, I guess he's not going anywhere. But like, really, it is his job to lose. And we love Clint Frazier. We love Mike Talkman. We love Stanton. And we want him to get pushed out, and it hasn't been happening. So now that it's happening, we're not like trying to, I'm not trying to root against him, but
there are better options.
I want other people.
Yeah, there are better options, more exciting options, and options that are going to be the options for the future, like what we're going to, and the future is kind of now in his department, especially when he hits a home run tonight and hits a home run in game one against the Red Sox. And is that enough? I don't think so. I think two home runs isn't enough to just have every other at bat kind of be just looking useless out there. So
like in this kind of season, we need him. He's a lefty. And he's a veteran. We're playing 60 games. Everybody's going to be playing a lot.
Yeah, it's going to be a revolving door.
We have the depth, and we're going to need him when it comes to playoff time. I don't want him to start. But like I appreciate having him this year. But I think going on forward, I'm okay with – I think he should just retire next year.
I'm cool with – oh, next year?
Yeah.
You said that so like you don't want to upset him like next year, like come on, like maybe here, yeah. Just retire already so we don't have to be.
Hate if you went anywhere else.
Honestly.
But like.
Well, he's not going to go anywhere else.
No.
But honestly, I'm with you in terms of him retiring because I feel like the more, it's almost a disservice to Brett because the more you put him out there, the more I'm going to start to hate on him and the fans are going to turn on him because he's just not going to be as good as he once was or. Like every year, he's going to deteriorate like everybody does. And yeah, I feel but like.
He doesn't.
Like, but he doesn't. But then I feel like just continuing to throw him out there, I don't know. I mean, he's always been like around a 250, 260 hitter. So I guess he's doing the same thing. Whatever. Guardy, evidently it's not a decision. And I'm pretty sure he's going to keep playing the outfield. And if he just hit another home run tonight. So he just hit the reset button on that whole coming for his job speech. But. Judge hits a home run in that game. Obviously, hits a home run in the next game, the next game, and the next game, and the next game, and then the next game. That's six, right? Yeah, it's six in a row. No, five in a row, but six home runs total in the five games. But game two, Tanaka gets the start. Tanaka goes 2.2, four hits, one earned, three Ks. Urshela with the slam, Judge home run. That game with Tanaka, I mean, he's obviously not going to come out and throw a full start. I mean, even when he's fully healthy and not concussed, he would probably sometimes go 2.2 anyway, you know, on a bad night, and then he'd go 9 complete game shutout on a good night because he's just night and day like that. But honestly, I'm just shocked that he's on the field. I don't think he should be pitching right now. I mean, granted, if he's fine, he's fine. But like, you take a shot from Stanton to the head. Stanton is the every year leader in exit velocity.
Mm-hmm.
You take a shot from his, from the head. That ain't like it's not gonna feel good. So I'm shocked that he's on the field.
He's an anomaly, I guess. That's bizarre that he's even pitching. But this is like, here's where it goes two ways. Like we say, we don't want Paxton pitching right now, but he's ready to pitch according to him. So why not? And like my thing with Tanaka is the way that our rotation is right now. I'd rather have him getting ready by pitching in MLB games than not, because like, what do you have? Four hits, one run and 2.2.
Yeah.
Like that's not ideal, but wasn't terrible. We won the game. Yeah. And with our lineup, we can afford that. And with our bullpen, we can afford that. So yeah. Like, I'm okay with him going out there and getting his reps, getting actual in-game reps.
Yeah. It's like active practice. We can afford to have more practice and like, almost rehab games because our offense can put up 10 runs a game every single day. And that's probably, honestly, I know Chapman's coming back soon. Sessa's coming back soon. And they're doing like rehab stints and whatever. Obviously there's no minor league season this year, so they can't do like an actual sim games. So I feel like that combined with the amount of runs we put up, like just throw them back in the lineup. We're fine.
Yeah.
I don't know. And with 60 games, I feel like,
I guess with Chapman, not as much because Chapman comes in and blows a game. That's a loss. Like if Tanaka's blowing it,
they could figure it out later down the road.
7-8 innings to recover. You know what I mean? So yeah. I guess for relievers, no, not as much. But I feel like we give Tanaka and maybe even Paxton the time. Paxton, I feel like, is just a more obvious concern. Like he had back surgery and now he's throwing slower. Yeah. Tanaka has bad starts all the time.
Yeah.
If he's so, not busy and his head is fine, then
he's wearing that protective thing in his hat too. So I mean, it seems like they're taking all the necessary precautions. So I'm not a doctor, but if he's good enough to be on the mound, he's probably good. He's probably fine mentally and health wise. So I'm just shocked. That just blows my mind that Ironhead Tanaka's back out there again. And honestly, we need it more than ever because with him out, we did the bullpen day. I'm not personally a fan of the bullpen days, but we did it, and I think we got the win, and that was when King pitched as well, so I don't think King specifically has a spot in the rotation right now, but one person goes down, and he might take, honestly, Hap's spot right now, so you never know. I think King's going to have a big role, and I think Schmidt, like you said, should definitely crack the lineup very soon. Whether it's taking Hap's job or one person goes down and Paxton needs to go to the IL and serve some time there. But
we're always hesitant with calling up these big prospect rookies because it's like it's almost a gamble because they come in, they have one bad season, their trade value goes to the floor. But like I feel like Clark Schmidt is like he looks so ready.
And I think with him, I don't think we're trading him. I think they love him, obviously. And like we just said, if now more than ever, it's a 60-game season. Obviously, everyone's trying to win. I'm not going to say it doesn't count. So it does count, and it feels like it very much counts, and everybody cares about it. But like we just said, with all the run scoring, like why not throw him out there now when a team's hot as hell? Like you're risking less because you can still get the dub.
And all these, a bunch of prospects are coming up this year. Like this is a year for it where like you need more depth because you're playing more games in a shorter time frame. And I think if one injury happened, he'd be up. But I think that right now, let's just have him take fucking Hap's job.
I'm so down with that because like how much worse could he be than Hap is right now? Like we've seen him do nothing but just twirl it out there. Like I don't see. I know there's a translation from the minors to the majors, but we saw him pitch against the A team on the Yankees because they did the Bombers versus the Yankees thing. It was A team, B team, JV varsity situation, and he was pitching against the varsity team. He was pitching against Stanton, Judge, and all them, and he loved it. And you see him in the post game, like smiling and everything. Pitched well, was striking people out. Like Hap can't do that. If Hap was doing that, he would just give up a million runs. This is the most potent offense in the league. And Schmidt shut them down for the most part. From what I remember, I don't really know the lines and everything like that, but Schmidt looks like he's very much ready. And if he can neutralize the Yankees A team, I think he can do it against the Blue Jays, Orioles, Marlins, if they play baseball, who knows, and just the Mets, Philly. I think he can spin it. And I think with the options we have, I think he's probably one of the better options to throw out there. In terms of confidence for me, like, if you wanted to make a trust tree with the starting rotation, obviously Gerrit Cole, then it's up to your interpretation, honestly.
It goes Tanaka, Paxton, Monty, bag of shit, and then Hap.
Well, where do you put Schmidt?
Right behind Paxton.
So three.
No, four. I'm sorry. Right behind Tanaka.
So what is that? Before
Montgomery. Yeah. I think he's so nasty.
Yeah. And that might not be anything to do with stats. I'm just saying when I see him on the mound, I'm confident he's going to close the door. That's it. He's going to twirl it. He's going to just get some punchies and that's it. Gone. Spend your time. So that's that. Paxton, some more stats on him. In game three, he gets a start. Obviously, we talked about the 5 miles per hour off his fastball. But in the first two starts, Paxton goes 4 innings pitched total in two starts. That ain't it. He gives up 12 hits in a total of 25 batters faced. So people are batting 500 against him. He is just getting hit. That's not good. And he has 6 earned runs and 5 strikeouts. He has a 3.25 whip, which goes in line with him giving up hits and everything like that. He had a 1.28 whip last year, so that's not good. League average is 1.27. He's just not doing it.
Yeah, and it's like, this is like what. So I coach, obviously, I've mentioned that. And my team's favorite thing, like they decide to walk everyone. And walks pissed me off when I'm coaching because at the level that I'm at, it's not hits that kill you, it's walks that kill you.
Yeah.
At the level that they're at, Paxton just he just gives up hits, dude. It's just hit after hit. He has one pitch where he's like, all right, I got 2 strikes. Let's try this put out pitch. Oh, he took it. Damn. All right. I'm a fastball right down the middle.
And it's funny because, and that's honestly a good point too, because walks aren't his problem. He walked one guy in the 4 innings that he threw, but he gave up 12 hits. So the 3.25 whip is walks, hits per innings pitch. All of the 3.25, like 3.24 is from the hits and 0.01 is from the walks he's given up. Yeah. So maybe to help him out, like throw some balls. Like maybe you're throwing too much in the zone.
He has like one attempt at a put out pitch and then it's just lay it in there. And his like the, they were breaking it down. Like with JD Martinez's 2-out double, it was, he threw a good slider and JD didn't chase. And then he's just flustered and he's like, all right, so how about a slider right down the middle? Just threw a slider. He laid off, saw exactly like the movement of the pitch, So let's throw it in the zone. And then freaking Bogarts, he throws a changeup nowhere. Like, it, he spikes it into the ground. And he's like, all right, well, that's not working. So how about a fastball right in the wheelhouse? Okay, home run. What are you doing?
I think he just needs to throw more balls.
He doesn't even go out there to compete right now.
Yeah, throw more out of the zone. That's just that might fix his situation for the moment. If you're going to lose 5 miles per hour on your fastball, you're a fastball pitcher. If you're a fastball pitcher too, like if you're more hittable because you're now throwing 90 flat, throw him out of the zone. Like, don't throw him in the zone until you have to. Yeah, at least try and be a painter. I'm not even trying to like change the way. Like, I don't want to do that whole song and dance where it's like, oh, he becomes a finesse pitcher now, like CeCe did in the back end of his career. Like, no, Paxton should be a flamethrower. Like, he should. Like, I don't think I'm ready to turn the page and be like, oh no, this is just who Paxton is now. Like, he's not. He's probably just hurt. But if you are going through the motions right now and you are throwing 90, like, maybe do a little something different. Like, maybe, I don't know. That's just the way I see it. We still ended up winning the game because Judge goes 2-for-4 and he just goes Superman. 2-for-4, 2 home runs, a walk, and 5 RBIs. This dude, I put that meme up there of the Paxton runs in the first and Judge is just saving us. It's like, there goes our hero. Honestly, for those listening, I made that before that happened. That's why I was able to post it so fast. I made that before just in the hopes that it is Judge. So I had the idea after Paxton gave up runs in the first because obviously, honestly, I could have made that before the game started because I knew that was going to happen too. But as soon as that happened, I started making the video and I had the idea I was going to use it for something. I made the beginning of the video. I was like, whatever. Judge is as hot as a pistol right now. I'm going to just use his face. And if something changes, I'll just switch the face out. But it's probably going to be Judge, so I made the video with Judge, and then I was like, I sent it in the group chat to you guys. It's like, I need Judge to hit a home run right here so I can post this right now. And he was up next, and then he hit the home run, goes up 3-2, erased the Paxton runs in the first. Obviously, he went back and forth after that during the game, but like, that was perfect. And honestly, that some people commented, like, how the fuck did you make that fast? And I was like, I didn't do it in the moment. I did it before, so that's why. I just ended up predicting, so I guess I'm Nostradamus.
Yeah, no, but when Judge gets up, it's just like he's a different animal right now. There was a stretch in like 2018 before he got hurt and like when he first got back last year that it was like I felt like I was hoping that he got a hit. Like, come on, Judge, because like I root for the guy so hard. But this year, it's like he steps up. And I just expect a home run. Like, he's just so on it right now. And he takes great pitches. He has such good at-bats, fouls pitches off. And even, like, even his strikeouts, they're great at-bats. He's not chasing out of the zone for 2 out of 3 strikes. He's not flaring at pitches. The changeup's not beating him, and he's sitting on his pitch. Like, I just love the way he looks right now.
And honestly, Murph was going to record with us, but he wanted to insert one of his takes, and it is very applicable here, so I'll read verbatim what Murphy has said. He said, also, the take is that Judge is unstoppable right now because he's automatic hitting inside pitches so far this year, and you can't throw him outside, like you said, to him because most of his career has been hitting oppo, so he's so dangerous outside, and he's just impossible to pitch to right now. He's a pitcher's nightmare, and also, the reason he didn't go yard is because Girardi knows how to pitch him to limit homers. Actually, that might make a little sense, but he still hit a single and a double, which speaks volumes about how good of a hitter he is because it shows he's not just trying to hit bombs, which is...
Yeah, and it's so true. Like, that he hit the nail on the head there. It's like he's not going up there because this could be a deceiving thing right now. It could just be he's hot and he's getting up there and situations to try to hit a home run and he's hitting home runs, but like the situations aren't really calling for a home run. Like, they're get on base, get guys over, they're all game tying or game go ahead home runs. Like, he's having at bats where he needs to do something and they're turning out in home runs, and I love that he's pulling the ball again. I love that he's using his power on inside pitches because he had a defensive approach for a while where it was like let's poke one the other way because I'm so damn strong and I'm playing at Yankee Stadium. But now it's like I'm fucking mushing the ball. Like he is mushing.
Yeah.
Seeing like he's just doing everything right. God, I love him.
No, I know. And when you look at the like records that we're talking about, every time he steps in the box, there's a new record that he broke. And some of them that we were looking at were obviously the consecutive games with home runs. He hit 6 in the first 8 games, which is the most ever by a Yankee tied for the most ever by a Yankee. A-Rod is the other one. Babe Ruth is 5. And then other ones like, what was the other one? He's the first player in baseball history to have 5 go-ahead homers in the team's first 8 games.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. And then every homer Judge has hit this season has either tied or gone ahead. And so the clutch gene for Judge is so activated. And when you talk about like him not doing too much, like Murphy said, it's so true. And that's my takeaway from this game against the Phillies that just finished is I kind of am happy that he didn't get a home run because it honestly, a little too much emphasis would probably be placed on, oh, is the streak going to be there? And as much as he can probably block that out, you're still thinking about it. You're still thinking about, oh, I need to crush this ball. And I think Judge is at his best when he's not thinking about hitting for power because he's so big that, like tonight, he got a single and a double, and he just takes what's given to him. It's situational. It's like Jeter was, inside out. Like if a ball's outside, like Murph said, he's a good outside hitter, hits it oppo a lot, takes what he gets, and it's just like, that's it. He just takes what's given to him, and that's perfect. And he doesn't try and force anything.
Yeah, that's the best part about him right now, is that he's not trying to do too much. Yeah. I'm not saying he ever has, but I'm saying, like, I like the approach that he's just being Aaron Judge right now as opposed to, like, trying to, like, I feel he had to be trying to go the other way for that whole season. Like, he was only hitting oppo home runs last year.
We talked about that on the pod, too, last year. But I don't know if he ever was trying to do that. He probably could have. He's a smart enough player, and he's talented enough to be able to do that.
Like, you're seeing him now pulling the ball 468-plus feet.
He smoked that ball to go ahead. That was ridiculous.
Like, that means that if he didn't do that one time last year,
I don't know. I'm not one of those who's too fixated on the like, remember when Meredith came up to him and was like, hey, so you pulled your first home run. He's like, why does that matter? And I was fully on board. Like, I get it.
I'm not saying that it matters that – I'm just saying that he was doing something to make that happen. I don't think that you're that big and that strong and you're not pulling home runs.
I don't know. I think that's just – I feel like it's just a situational thing. Like, it's the way the cookie crumbled.
I think it's something with the approach. It has to be approach. There's no way you don't pull the ball accidentally that far at least 5 times if you're hitting home runs. You know what I mean?
I mean, listen, if he's doing that on purpose, that's more power to him because that's even more impressive that he's
good at hitting. Where the ball goes, if it goes out, I don't give a shit. Like, I don't care if he's pulling the ball or not. I'm just saying I think right now we're seeing the Aaron Judge full throttle. Like this is the hitter that he can be when he's at his best.
And you know what's crazy?
That he said he's not locked in.
Yeah, they asked him. Obviously, he's super modest. He's not going to say, dude, you see me today? Did you see me hit that home run? I'm fucking locked in, dude. Like, he's never going to say something like that. He's not cocky whatsoever. He's obviously going to say that. So I think he is very much locked in. So this is locked in Aaron Judge. But
that's settling if he says I'm locked in. Like, that's if you ask him to – like, he said – the question was, like, how does it feel to be locked in? And he was like, still not locked in yet. Like that, if he said, yeah, I'm locked in right now, that means that this is his ceiling.
Yeah.
He's not on the ceiling. He's never going to his standards, he's never at a ceiling.
Yeah. Even if he was, he would never say, oh, like this feels great. I feel like I'm the king of the world right now that I can never get any better than this. Cause he's always trying to do better things and he's talented, sure as fuck talented enough. But his stats in this span, he's got a .368 batting average. This is because he won AL Player of the Week. So during this week, he has been batting .368. He has a .478 OBP, a 1.3 slugging, 9 runs, 6 home runs, 2 walks. That's pretty locked in if you ask me.
You got to believe that means if there's a player for the month of July, it's got to be him.
for July. Well, I think I mean player of the week is pretty much player of July. there was one that was the week. Yeah.
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 Not so like it literally was a week.
Yeah. No. So he's the player of July. So we just crowned him player of the
wins
July.
Wins August. Gotta believe that's MVP.
Yeah, because then you're two out of the four months. So he's already at the majority if he wins August. So then now somebody
he's sick.
He's so good at baseball, but it's just crazy to me. It's nuts having him locked in with Stanton locked in at the same time. And it's just wild because those two have never been on the field together for the most part. I know that stat before the season started was they've only hit home runs in the same game one time. And that's just simply because they have never really been playing together. One's hurt when the other's healthy and one's healthy when the other's hurt. So that's
true, right?
What?
Like, I don't think Stanton's hit a home run since Judge has started.
I think it may have happened once.
No, it hasn't happened this year.
You sure?
Could be wrong, but Stanton didn't hit one all Red Sox series. And Judge's first was the last.
Yeah, that could be true.
Second game of the Orioles series. Yeah. Yeah. Pretty sure Stanton doesn't Stanton only Stanton have two home runs.
Yeah, he's two.
Yeah, they were both against the Nats.
So it could still be true. But, I mean, regardless, they're both locked the fuck in right now.
Yeah. Stan's hitting, which is good. So
it's never a bad thing. So other notes from that game. This is game three against the Red Sox. I mean, Voit with the rocket home run. Miggy in left field making the error. I mean, and the last thing, Glaber is 2-for-13. So those three things alone, I think those are recurring storylines that we need to look at going forward, like what to watch for. So Voit, I've been a big proponent of Ford getting the nod. And honestly, Voit has been proving me wrong. He's playing very well. But I will say, I will not stop this just yet. I will not stop. It's not Voit hate, but I'm not going to stop being skeptical of him just yet. And I don't know what he has to do to kind of turn that in my head because I've never been a big Voit guy, but he is playing very good baseball right now. And he's never going to be a great defender. It's first base, so who really gives a shit? We have Edwin Encarnacion, who is slow as hell. Like, you don't need a good fielder at first base. That's not a big deal. But he is hitting the ball well, and he hit the cover off the ball against the Red Sox in game three. And I don't know. What's your take on it? Because I've been talking a lot about my feelings on Voit, and I want to get other people's opinions because I want to maybe either have people agree with me or get myself checked out. I don't know.
I mean, my thing is I wanted Bird over Voit for the longest time. So, like, I started with a bias against Voit. But Voit is the guy. Like, he's shown us exactly who he is, and he's been consistent ever since he came to the Yankees. Like, he just played his first full season like a couple games ago. Like, it was a full season with the Yanks. So, like, he's done very well over that span. Yeah. He's like,
and that includes
like,
the hernia time.
Huh?
That includes the time with the hernia too, and the stats were still good.
Well, no, like they did all the games he's played in, I think.
I know, but when he came back from the hernia, he played hurt. Remember? So
that is true. Yeah.
When he slumped last year. So that made the stats worse, but the stats were still overall good. So
yeah. And they're no, but like he's exactly what he is all the time. Like, he hits home runs once in a while. He strikes out. Yeah. Walks not a ton, but he walks. But like, he's never going to be the, oh my God, like Luke Voit is the best player on this team. He would never be that for any team. But, like, he's a great guy to have in the middle of the lineup. Like, last night was just a perfect example for me. Like, Judge, obviously, he's on. DJ's always on. Glaber's not particularly on right now. Stanton, always a home run threat. And then it's just having the Voit right there.
Yeah.
It's just, like, there's no let up. Like, you still got to face Voit. And even when Sanchez is bad, you still got to face Sanchez.
Yeah.
Like, him right there in our lineup, I think, is just so perfect.
Yeah.
I just love how it's just there's no break. Like, I feel like with Ford, he could go Yabo anytime too, but I just feel like I'd rather have Voit in the situation where you need the big hit.
So the way I have changed my perspective on this, I'm not fully sold yet, but I have changed my perspective very much. So I was calling for Ford to be the starter for first base. Now I have completely called that off. That's not happening. It's not happening this year. Voit, the way he's playing, if he continues to play like this, or even remotely close, he's going to stay
what,
at...
What? Like what?
What?
Like what? Like keeps playing like what?
Like just what? Doing what he's doing. He had the occasional home run every other game or something like that. But the reason why I haven't liked him is because, for me, I'm a big on the eye test, and I've been recently delving into the world of advanced statistics. So I'm trying to combine the two, maybe make this a little bit of a math pod, given I am a math person by trade. So maybe I will be the math guy, the stat guy on this podcast. But the reason why I haven't really liked him as much is because he doesn't pass the eye test, the Luke test, I called it all the time, like how I feel confidence-wise when he's at the plate. And I think that's because of just his... I looked at the numbers. I was trying to figure out, okay, I don't like him just based on what I'm looking at. Let me see the number, because then I know the numbers always prove that he's doing well. So I tried to marry those two and find out why. Why do I hate Voit? So I looked at the numbers, and I think I came to a conclusion that it's because of his strikeout percentage. And that is very... It weighs a lot on you while you're watching. So you always see him striking out, and his strikeout percentage is 37% in 2020. It's 27.8 in 2019 after a full year. The league average is 16.8. So that to me is that's why it's alarming, because that's what you see all the time. You see 37% of the time you're seeing him strike out. And that carries a lot more weight to me, you know? Obviously, it shouldn't. It's just it's an at-bat. Strikeouts don't matter. Judge strikes out a lot. Stanton strikes out a lot. It doesn't matter. But I will say, the thing that flips, that evens that out, is his walk percentage. Because I know his OBP is always very high, but his walk percentage in 2019 was 13.9%, and the league average is 8.5%. So he makes up for the amount of strikeouts with his walks. So as a result, in conclusion, with my feelings on Voit, his walk to strikeout ratio is 0.5, which is exactly league average. So that those two things even out, and that's why his statistics aren't really showing how bad he may seem to me, because I just overemphasize the strikeouts in my mind.
You know, I'm a Voit guy now. There's no bird to get in my way. So
yeah,
I like Voit. I want Voit to be the starter, hands down. I'm way more Voit than Ford. I'm okay with Ford's role. I'm okay with him starting every few days because he does have that power. He could get the big hit. But like I like Voit, and I love who he is as a guy. Like, I think he's a great teammate. So I'm big Voit guy now.
Yeah, I think I'm coming around on him. I'm never going to be truly sold on him. But then again, like, it's like a Gary situation. There's really, like, Ford is a decent option, but is he really, like, so much of a glaring, like, he's going to take your job, he's so good, like, you have to start him sort of a guy? No, not necessarily. He looks like he can damn hit. Like, he can hit the cover off a ball. He looks like a pure hitter. And we've seen that in the minors, and we've seen it when he pinch hits. He's the best pinch hitter I've ever seen. He's like batting like 1,000 pinch hitting. He hits a million home runs and walks it off all the time. But I don't think he will ever really be like imagine like DJ was. I mean, actually, this is a weird example that makes sense, because DJ didn't start the season last year as a starter. Tulo was going to start. So it'd be like a situation if like DJ was on the bench, and like Ford is never the DJ. You know, this is a very across example.
I'm everywhere, bro.
Huh?
Real in. I have no fucking clue what you're trying to say to me.
Ford isn't taking Voit's job. Case closed. No. That's it. That's what I was trying to get out of that whole thing. That was a very roundabout way to get there. But yes, I am not counseling Voit. So that was the Red Sox series. Getting a nice sweep. Definitely like to see that. The Red Sox, honestly, are looking so bad. And they get nearly swept by the Orioles. The Orioles are like 5-3. I don't know if they won tonight, but they were 5-3 this morning. The Red Sox look horrible. The Rays get swept by the Orioles, too. The Blue Jays are losing games to the Rays. So everybody's just beating up on each other, and we're just winning games. So at this point, we always knew we were going to make the playoffs. And if they didn't expand the roster, the playoff, to two division leaders making the playoffs, it'd be a little more concerning. But now we knew we were going to make the playoffs. But now it's pretty much a guarantee. I won't say I guarantee it.
I don't guarantee it.
So do you want to explain to the listeners what a guarantee is?
You guarantee some, and you get it wrong, you have to shit your pants.
On site.
You have to be very, very confident in your guarantees.
Have you ever guaranteed something?
I guaranteed that. I think I guaranteed a strike in bowling.
Did you get it?
I got it.
So if you guarantee something and you got the strike, so does somebody else have to shit their pants, or you just don't have
to? Absolutely not. It's just showing your confidence in what you're about to do.
So that's like a very low reward, high risk situation. So like you don't get anything other than being like, I'm just gonna
absolutely not
flaunt my confidence.
I don't have to shit. That's all it is.
We'll do some guarantees this year. I wouldn't want to shit my pants, but I'll piss. I
guaranteed a few things.
You ain't cool unless you pee your pants. There is a guarantee.
There is a guarantee.
It's just a less confident version of the guarantee.
100%.
Okay, noted. That'll be a ongoing storyline for those listening. Keep an eye out for that. So, those are the games. Did we go over the Phillies game?
No, we'll get into it now.
Yankees win. Cole, we talked about Cole and how we think about Cole. Cole goes six innings, one earned, picks up win number 19. He's going to break the record. The record's 24 wins in a row. I don't see him ever losing a game with this offense behind him. DJ goes 2-for-3. Judge stays hot. 2-for-4, I think it was. Like we said, we already spoke about that. Gardy gets another home run. First home run he's ever hit to left field. Ever.
What?
At Yankee Stadium. You didn't see that spray chart?
No, I wasn't watching, dude. I was coaching. Won the championship today.
Sick. Congrats. But Gardner, he hit a home run to Oppo. It just got over the left field. No, it was a home run. Clear home run. But
first one ever.
No, somebody tweeted out like the spray chart, like the heat map, like where the balls have landed at Yankee Stadium. I think it's just at Yankee Stadium too, but because he's such a dead pull hitter, and somebody put it out, and it's like, the caption was, let me see how many times Gardy has hit the ball to left field. Let me see where his home runs have landed. Oh, there's literally one in left field, and another one that's like in left field, like on the field. I don't know what happened there. It was a home run, but it was like at the shortstop. I don't know. But it's kind of wild. I mean, we know he's a dead pull hitter, and he's like Didi. He only hits him to right field. So it's just kind of a weird little thing that he had a home run to left field. And good for him. He hit another home run. So I'm not really going to be bullying him anymore on Twitter until he goes 0-for-20 again. But
yeah, I mean, looked good today. And from what I saw, I'm kind of watching the encore as we're speaking.
So
what something I do want to talk about is, like, obviously we know how great DJ is, and he's never not great. But, like, it goes unsaid because of how good Judge is doing, how great LeMahieu's doing. Like, both those situations – there were two situations last night, and one was the go-ahead home run where DJ keeps the inning alive – to give Judge a chance, which is so big. Like, usually I hate when the leadoff hitter gets up with two outs. Like, it's just a thing. It's always bothered me. Like, I hate when it's like, shit, we could have him next inning with no outs. And then we have like LeMahieu, Judge, Glaber, Stanton. Like, that's what I'd rather have than two outs. LeMahieu gets up. But like with Judge and the way he's hitting right now, it's good to get him up whenever. And like Talkman to draw that walk and steal that base, and then DJ to tie the game with that hit. Like, that's so big, because not only does it get Judge up, it gives Judge pressure
that opportunity.
Off.
Yeah.
So,
he tied the game because DJ did. He tied the game when we were down in the eighth.
Yeah.
And I was about to say that too. Like, I don't want that to go unsung. Like, obviously, the big storyline is Judge with the home run, but DJ just as much. gets the most valuable player that game because he ties the game up. And like you said, so much pressure off his shoulders.
Mm-hmm. And that's huge. And I love that out of him. And the way that he just, he's always doing it. And like, even with like a leadoff home run tonight, like that's big. That gives Cole breathing room. That gives everybody, like everybody could let a little bit loose. And he just is always coming up in the right situations.
Yeah.
And it was earlier in yesterday's game too. Like there's two outs. DJ's up. He gets a hit. And like, even though I don't think Judge did anything that at bat, but like, that's good. Get Judge up. Right now we need Judge up.
Yeah.
And like, we even need LeMahieu up. So it's just that an inning's never over when LeMahieu's up.
I mean, that's what he's been doing. Like he's, I feel like DJ has always been up with two outs and he just extends the inning and lets Judge get up. And that's literally all it's been. And DJ obviously hit like 26 homers last year, but he's never really been a home run guy. He is still hitting home runs. I'll say that. Like, he's definitely not hitting home runs, but his game is slapping the ball, finding holes. And there, I'll bring out some stats again. We're going to make this a math pod one way or another. But there are some wild stats, as you can imagine, with DJ. And some of them are specifically, so this is really cool stuff about play discipline statistics that I was today years old when I learned what they are. So I'll enlighten you guys, make this a math pod. So there's something called O swing percentage. I don't know if you've heard of it, Kev, have you?
No, I don't.
O swing percentage is basically just the percentage of balls, pitches that you swing, the percentage of pitches you swing on that are outside the zone. So how often are you swinging outside the zone? How often are you chasing, basically? And the Z swing, which is swings inside the zone percentage. So it's not what you would think. So his O swing is 38.5.
So that's how many pitches.
So he's swinging out. He's a free swinger. He is swinging at 38.5% outside the zone, and the league average is 29.7. So he's swinging a large number amount. It's almost 10% more outside the zone. And inside the zone, he's swinging at just about the same. But he's chasing more pitches. And then the crazy part about that is his O contact, so his contact percentage on the swings that he goes outside the zone, is 85%.
And yes, that's why.
And the league average is 58.
Okay, that's why. I was going to say I there's no way that's true, but
yeah, no, he's not he's chasing, but he's hitting them.
Yeah, that makes sense cuz it doesn't look like he's chasing it when he hits it.
Yeah, and the Z swing, huh?
It makes a pitch look like it's in the zone when you make solid contact with it, even if it's outside.
Exactly. He just barrels up everything. And then the crazy part is, and this is the thing that everybody notices, is the Z swing percentage. He swings at about 60% there in the zone, but the amount that he hits. So when he does swing in the zone, he makes 92% contact.
Makes perfect sense.
Which is almost every single time, and that's 83% league average. So he's very much better than the average person in terms of making contact on pitches, which we knew. So that was crazy to me.
The best vision ever.
Yeah. And another fun thing that I found, these are the stats I'm going to try and find. I'm going to try and find ones that are relevant to what we've been seeing. So another statistic called batting average on balls in play. So when you think about DJ, my cat just fucking dropped something. When you think about DJ, you always see him just finding holes, right? All the time. So DJ, batting average on balls in play basically just measures a player's batting average exclusively on balls hit into the field of play. So like when he does hit one inside the lines, how often does it actually get through? And his batting average on balls in play in 2020 so far has been 440. MLB average has been 280. So he is finding holes. Obviously, small sample size. So when we look at 2019, the full sample size, his batting average on balls in play is 349. League average is 298. So he just is like what we've been seeing is true statistically as well. That's just crazy to me. And another thing to add to his MVP campaign that he should have won, his strikeout percentage is 13.7 last year and 23 is the average for the league. So he's just not striking out, but he's swinging more often than other people, which is nuts. So he's swinging at so much shit and he's just never striking out because he makes contact on everything. 92% inside the zone, 85% outside the zone.
Yeah, he's the man. And then rest of tonight's game, you have Urshela with another ding bomb because he's the man.
Yeah. So moving with the WOBA conversation, because there are some other cool stats, and then I'll stop with my math because it's I'm nerding out here. But basically, a better definition than what I was trying to freehand, I have it in front of me now. WOBA is an advanced rate statistic. Basically, it attempts to credit the hitter for a value of each outcome, single, double, etc. Rather than treating all hits with equal weight, it's a better representation of offensive value as a whole. So it's like OPSs and stuff like that, but it's everything combined, basically. So an amazing WOBA is 400. Average is 320. Bad is 290. Aaron Judge is currently leading the MLB with a 518 WOBA before tonight. I haven't calculated since then. The MLB average is 320, like I said. To put that in perspective, Barry Bonds, the year he had 73 home runs. I get this is a small sample size, but this is just giving you a perspective of how good Judge is currently playing, the caliber he's putting on this field. Barry Bonds, when he hit 73 home runs in his best year of his career, hit a 537 WOBA for the whole year. But that's just crazy that Judge is playing that high of caliber baseball right now. That's what we're seeing right in front of our eyes. That's why I wanted to give a good example of who you're playing like. And in terms of one of the GOATs of baseball, probably the best player to ever live. Obviously, he took steroids. But that's even crazier, too, because this is the year that he was taking full-blown steroids. He was needles in the ass. And Judge isn't doing that. And he's putting up numbers like Bonds was. Obviously, it's over 10 games. But that's what we're currently watching. And I'm not going to overreact to the sample size, but that's the crazy part to me.
Yeah, no, he's on. He's hot as a pistol. There's no refuting that one, Luke.
And one more thing on that. He was a little bit below Bonds, like I said, but he beat Mark McGwire's WOBA, which was 492 the year he had 70 home runs the long gone summer. So just a lot of numbers here, trying to make sense of them in my head and share them with the world. And I think it's cool. I think numbers are cool. So a little stat nugs for you today.
Nice.
So let's get into a little bit of the, what did you want to call this now? This is the new segment. Well, we've been doing these all the time just to debate topics, but like, what do you want to call it now?
We're rounding third.
We're rounding third. So explain to the people what rounding third's all about.
So since we are full of our hot takes here, what we're going to do, we're going to round third with our takes, and then there's going to be a play at the plate. If the take is solid, you're safe at the plate. If the take is terrible, you're out at home. So we're going to round third. And Rella has some things he wants to run by me. And not like most people, I don't stand for the Rella BS a lot of the time. So I'll punch you out if I have to. I am an umpire. Okay? I want you to remember that. So you try to get some of these takes by me and they don't fly, you're getting called out.
All right. So my first, what do you want to call this? My triple trying to turn it into a home run?
Base runner. Your base runner.
He's running. So I'm sending him around third. And the first thing I'm sending around third is Judge. Aaron Judge is the face of baseball. Now, so before you throw me out or let me or just send me home, let me make a little bit of an argument. Now, I heard A-Rod say the whole nonsense quote. Everybody heard it. It was Tiger Woods, LeBron James, Michael Jordan, Aaron Judge. And that was my best A-Rod voice at the end of that. I think it was pretty right on the money. But that was just a ridiculous quote. That is just not true. However, I like where his head's at. It's just he's basically put in perspective what Judge is currently doing right now. And that was him basically saying he is the face of baseball. And to top that all off, Mark DeRosa also said the same thing. And we were talking about this before, last episode, not on the air. So I'll share it with you guys today. Aaron Judge, when you think about a player, and there's two conversations. Face of baseball and best player are different conversations. That's why I'm saying Aaron Judge is face of baseball, and I can confidently say that he's more of a face of baseball than Mike Trout, because face of baseball is amplified by the market. The market is the multiplier for face of baseball, because that's why, I mean, Mike Trout doesn't get a lot of attention, even though he's the best player we've probably ever seen, but he's not the face of baseball because he's just not in the right market. People don't like watching him as much as we do. We're fans that are so passionate about the game that we make our own goddamn podcast and we talk about it at 1 a.m. after a game instead of going to sleep and studying for the CPA like I should be doing. But he's just so recognizable. And that's the other big thing. The other big thing is that he's recognizable. Like, you ask a casual baseball fan, like, I don't know, Alyssa, my girlfriend, knows nothing about baseball. You see Aaron Judge walk into a coffee shop, that's Aaron Judge. He's recognizable. You see Mike Trout, you probably don't, that person probably doesn't know him, like, oh my God, that's Mike Trout. You know what I mean? So that is adds a lot to the face of baseball conversation as well. So am I safe or out?
You're safe.
Cool.
You pretty much hit the nail on the head. I mean, the face of baseball, yes, it doesn't mean the best player. He's not the best player. One of, he's not the best player, but he's the most marketable player in baseball. And there's, if you look back at the last 10 years, I would say that the faces of baseball have been Derek Jeter. For a while, I'd even argue Bryce Harper. And then Aaron Judge. And it's like, they're great, but he's in New York. He's shining in New York. He has the most jersey sales. When the Every MLB year. Is doing anything to promote, they're going to use Aaron Judge. They use Mike Trout too. But like you said, Mike Trout is going to reach the baseball fans. But when you're talking about the face of the MLB and trying to get new people into the game, you're going to use Aaron Judge.
I don't even think that's a close play at the plate.
I think you're just safe.
Yeah. And I think like when you see all of the marketing campaigns too, that's how you literally see what the MLB thinks in terms of their face of baseball, because you see all these like production like things, like the Field of Dreams, we're supposed to be in it because we're the Yankees and it's Aaron Judge and everything like that. And then you see like the London series and all these other things that we're headlining. And you see like the pictures they put out of like, oh, we're ready. We're tell us when and where, like we're ready to play again. Who's the biggest person in that picture? It's Aaron fucking Judge. Why aren't they using the Angels for these big marketable games that are supposed to sell baseball, like with the Field of Dreams? Because they're not marketable. Because that's just not
the best player on the biggest team and one of the best players in the league.
And as we've been recently seeing, he's super clutch. So those things all combined make me safe. Thank you.
He's must see TV.
He is must see TV. So now that I'm safe there, see if I can go 2 for 2 with two dongs. I'm concerned a little bit about our current state of the Yankees and how we've been winning games. I know we're 8-1, but I think there are underlying concerns with how we've gone about winning these games. So let me explain. Obviously, we're 8-1. We're doing very good, best record in baseball. Not really too much to worry, but this is a big trouble in paradise sort of take. Aside from Judge and Cole and a few others like Gio, DJ, it's very top heavy in terms of the performers on this team right now. There are a lot of people that are very much struggling. Starting catcher, Gary, Gardy, Glaber, a lot of the whole rotation besides Cole seems to be struggling. A lot of struggling players, a lot of players that are really carrying the team on the back. And on top of that, we kind of got lucky in a lot of these games. Not a very hard strength to schedule. Playing against the Orioles, playing against the Red Sox who lost to the Orioles, playing against the Nationals who lose Strasburg, who lose Soto. We missed out on a lot of players like that. Phillies who are struggling coming off COVID. They haven't played a game in a week. I feel like we have gotten a lot of good bounces, and I'm a little part of me is concerned about that and the ability to continue this because of those things. Not saying I'm like panic mode, but it's, like I said, trouble in paradise. Am I safe or out?
You're out. You're out at the plate, and I'm going to tell you why. While, yes, we have had nice matchups so far, you're out for the reason being that we have depth. We have people that are coming, going to come in. We have Tanaka, who's going to get better. We have Paxton, who you got to believe is going to figure it out more likely than he is to not figure it out. We have people like Schmidt, who can come up in a panic situation. We have a fantastic bullpen. And for the people in the lineup who aren't doing great, there's two ways to look at it. It's great because Judge is getting up in these situations and he is making it happen. But the way that our lineup plays out, you're not going to keep all of us down ever. Okay. So even if Judge goes into a skid, other people are going to pick him up. We have the ability to pick him up. There's never a time where we're out of a game. And we have this schedule all season. That's the thing. This 60-game season, if you're saying the way that the Yankees are right now, we're only playing these teams. We're only playing the Nats, the Phillies, the Braves, the Mets, the AL East, the NL East. That's all we're going against. So we're going to keep getting these matchups. Gerrit Cole is going to be who he is. The rest of the rotation will figure itself out. And I think that our players are too good to be worried about in the first 10 games, especially when we're getting wins.
That's the answer I wanted to hear, and that's the answer I believe in too. But I was, like I said, trying to play devil's advocate a little bit. But there are, that you understand, I know I'm out, but it was, I'm not saying it was a close play, but I'm saying there was something behind it. Like, I was, you're not just sending him around third and he was like dead from the start. Like, there was a little bit. Yeah. Maybe I tripped around like halfway through, but you know, there's some weight to it, and it's something to keep an eye on for Yankees fans going forward. Obviously, I know nobody's hot at the same time. That's just not how baseball works, and this is kind of how baseball is operated. Like, you are pulled by the hot hitters at the time, and some people go back through slumps, and then somebody else gets hot. But just something to keep an eye on, and I know we're going to keep playing.
But if we were currently figuring out ways to lose games instead of figuring out ways to win games, then I might call you safe. But the fact that no matter what, we're figuring out ways to win these games. And like last night's a great example. You look at, Judge had the two huge blows, but you have Gary Sanchez had an RBI double. Gio Urshela had an RBI double. Like, we have guys that are coming in, and even when it's not Judge, we're still getting the job done. Luke Voit tied the game. Gary Sanchez tied the game. Like, we're good.
Yeah. And you know what? Something that has been going very well, which will segue me perfectly into my next rounding third and my last one. Something that's been going so well, the two people who have been doing very, very well on this team is Judge and DJ. Judge and DJ, to me, before I get into my explanation, it's kind of my explanation. Judge and DJ, like, they complement each other so well. We talked about it before a little bit. Like, DJ just gets on and Judge gets him in. It's just like clockwork. Every time, DJ on, two outs, get Judge up to the plate, Judge hits a home run. That's just how it's been going down. And when you compare that to the best 1-2 punches in the sport right now, 1-2 punches being just one hitter, two hitter, strictly that, who bats leadoff, who comes after him, not best two players in a lineup, because then we would probably do like Judge and Stanton or Judge and Glaber or any combination of the two, and then there's obviously the Bellinger-Betts situation, but that's not a leadoff, it's a two-hitter situation. I think DJ and Judge are the best 1-2 punch in baseball, and that's over players like Acuña Albies, Bryant Rizzo, Betts Muncy, Springer Altuve, Simeon Chapman. I don't think it's that close, especially the way they're playing right now. And the reason why I think it makes them even better, without looking at them as individual players and their production, like that, like overall WAR, if you were to look at them and say like, oh, they produce the most WAR, they're the best 1-2 punch. It's just how they complement each other. Like, DJ literally just gets on every time. He swings. He always swings. Never strikes out. So it's never going to strand Judge and he leads off the next inning. DJ's always going to try and get on in any way. Never going to strike out. And then Judge just hits a home run. Like, that's just, it's a beautiful 1-2 punch. Am I safe or am I out?
You're safe. I agree. I think in terms of as 1-2 hitters go, they're the cream of the crop. I think DJ is... I've seen so many things that say DJ LeMay is not a leadoff hitter, but for our lineup, he is the leadoff. Like, he's perfect. He always is up in the right situation, whether it's to start the game with a home run or get back around the lineup and get Judge up. And people also say Judge shouldn't be hitting two. I love that. I love Judge hitting two.
Yeah.
I love those two at the beginning of the lineup, and I do think that they are the best two in baseball because DJ is just – they're both just pure hitters and pure hitters that can do everything and pure hitters that feed off of each other well. So, yes, I'm calling you safe there.
Yeah, and the way – like, your players are only as good as the way the lineup's constructed. A lot of people don't put a lot of weight into the order in which players bat. Like, when I was doing research for this, I saw a lot of teams that just have horrible 1-2s, and they have better players that are 3s and 4s. And, like, I don't really get that because you're getting – your best two players, you want them to get the most at-bats, because let's say bottom of the ninth, your two-hitter is up in a two-out situation. That three-hitter is probably not up, and that might lose you the game. When Judge gets an extra at-bat, like let's say his situation doesn't happen, and somehow, some way, he was batting third that inning, and then Stanton strikes out, and he never gets up. That's, you want the guy to get the most at-bats so he can make the most damage. And I just think the construction of this lineup is very good. It's very, they complement each other very well.
I agree. Because the Yankees do have an advantage because they have arguably the best 1-9 lineup in baseball, probably them or the Dodgers. But it's just so nice because of the type of hitters. And I think that Boone does a great job with this lineup. I think I like the way that it goes LeMahieu, who's a hitter, and Judge, who's going to hit a home run. And you go back to Glaber, who's a hitter, can also get the home run, proved that last year. And then Stan, guy that's going to get the home run. And then you have the little stretch of probably going to be a home run or probably going to be an out with the Voit and Sanchez and the Hicks, Voit, Sanchez, that whole area. Those are like, yeah, these guys hit a lot of home runs, so we put them behind the people that get hits. And then you get back to like the talk of an Andhar. And I think it's just, it's a freaking, it sucks for pitchers. It's just such a great cycle. But I think that it's great. I think that they're a great 1-2 punch. And I love the construction of the lineup.
Yeah.
And like you said, it is so, so important to any successful
team. And people don't really talk about that. It's like, oh, you got 9. They'll eventually all get their hits, whatever. But like, it's like the order in which people come up in their games and how they play against getting the other guy opportunities, it's so important. I don't know. I thought that was, and I knew I was going to be safe. I knew I was hitting inside the park. That one hit off the wall and just bounced over to the left field and nobody touched it.
That might have been a balk, bro. Like,
yeah, they balked me in. They intentionally walked me with the bases loaded. I Barry Bonds that one. I rounded third with a nice walk. But
there you go.
I was going to say something else before we moved on to the final thing. What was it? Tell me what it was.
It'd be a weird thing for me to do, considering I don't know.
All right, whatever. Let's move on. So, who are you giving the Ellsbury Award to? Ellsbury Award, for those who are tuning in for the first time, I don't know why you've been listening since episode 1. It's episode 57. But the Ellsbury Award goes to the person who sucks this week, because Ellsbury sucks. I don't like Ellsbury. Nobody does. So, who's your Ellsbury this week?
This week, I feel like it's... Are we considering this week the whole season, or...
No, since the last episode. So the games we just recapped, who are you giving the Ellsbury Award to? I'll start if you need James time Paxton? To think. Well, that was my answer. So I mean, it's got to go to Paxton, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's the only one that stood out as sucking.
James Paxton is having a horrendous start to the season. So congrats on getting the Ellsbury Award, James. I hope you turn it around. I mean... Hopefully, and I really think it's a product of him being hurt. There's got to be something.
Back surgery. Got to give the guy some leeway, but yeah.
You think he's like hurt and like needed to take another IL stint, or you think he's like just coming back from the surgery?
I think it's just coming back from the surgery. I think he feels fine. Every interview with him, he's pretty much very honest that he's open about feeling completely fine. He just can't figure out what's wrong, which is like, it's probably just he's lagging. Yeah. So I think he'll be fine.
So, since you took that one, I'm going to have to pick another one. I'm just going to say the Yankees pitching staff that's not named Gerrit Cole.
See, that's not true.
It's not true, but I couldn't pick Paxton, so I got to pick somebody else. Who am I going to pick? Hap.
Yeah, fuck Hap. I was going to pick Hap.
Fuck Hap. And honestly, Wade. Wade has been playing like shit. I'm a big Wade guy, but he's not been doing anything.
It's because you think he's so much better than he is,
he's
bro.
Not better than... I know he's not good at hitting. He's not doing it, and... I haven't had the whole offseason to build him up. I'm just seeing bad. That's all that's going on. The whole offseason, I've had time to watch the highlights.
There's just such a thing with it's the podcasting community. I've noticed it's just so high on Tyler Wade. Like, he's literally just fast. That's all he is.
No, he's a good fielder, too.
He's a good fielder, but he's just fast.
And he's a good fielder.
Sure. Most people are.
I don't know. I just spent the offseason looking at the highlights of every player and looking at the whole highlight reel and everything. Is honestly kind of alarming that his highlight reel is like 2 minutes long, so he doesn't really have much going on.
Cool slide, and then you're like, oh my god, Tyler Wade. All
right, whatever.
It's just such a.
I just want to get drinks with him.
And he's cool. And the rest. Because he's our age, you feel like he could be your friend.
Yeah, that's what JJ thinks about all. That's his theory for Wade, Talkman, anybody that we want to get beers with, which I would very much be open to. So
don't get me wrong, I'd love to have a beer with anybody on the Yankees, but
we might get a beer with Michael K. Did you see that?
No, Michael K. is down.
He follows us now on Twitter, but he responded a while back saying, so we said something, and then he quote tweeted us, and then JJ said he's not going to get a beer with you, and then Michael K. quote tweeted JJ's tweet and said, I very well might, Jack, and he was like, I was just freaking out, and then today he did the Ask K thing during the rain delay, and I was like, hey, Michael, when are we getting that beer? Hashtag Ask K, and he responded, he said, whenever we're allowed to go into it. A bar again. I was like, okay, we'll keep your seat warm and the beer cold. So we might be getting beers with Michael K, which would be a childhood dream of mine. So updates to come on that. I dreamed about that. Yeah. When I was a kid. Anyway, next award, since you went first on the Ellsbury Award and stole the one good answer for that, for the belt, I'm going to give the belt away to Judge, obviously.
Real hard one there.
Yeah, I mean, dude, that's the point of the belt. He gets the belt. I'm not gonna not pick him because he's not the not like a weird pick.
Like, I'm not gonna go like you and pick somebody else. I'm gonna give it to him as well because he fucking deserves it.
Hey, that one needs no explanation either. He just gets the belt this week. So until next week, he has the belt. So some other awards I wanted to give away. This is a personal award that I created. Was the I Hate You, Luke Rella, Shut Up and Let Me Play award. And that's going to go to Luke Voigt because I have been shitting on him and he has been shitting on me in his play. So he doesn't like me if he has heard anything I've been saying about him, which I wouldn't like me if somebody was talking shit about me like that. And you know what? He blew up in my face.
Told you.
So the I Hate You, Luke Rella, Shut Up and Let Me Play award goes to Luke Voigt.
Well, I'm really happy for him. He really deserved that award.
Do you have an award?
My award will be the You Can Sleep With My Girlfriend and I Would Probably Thank You award. And it goes to DJ LeMahieu every week.
DJ.
He's a good guy. He's a really cool guy.
See, DJ's the type of guy who, like, I'd give him that same award because, like, he'll be nice. He'll treat her. He'll take her to a nice restaurant.
He just so wouldn't do it.
He wouldn't talk. Can't imagine. Dude, is he married?
I swear to God, I had this conversation. Me and my friend said one professional athlete you could get a beer with. And my answer was actually DJ LeMahieu. And it seems like the worst answer ever for that.
It is.
But I got to pick the guy's brain.
Bro, he's just like way he won't talk.
Normal. He's way too normal.
All right, I want to get a beer with you award to DJ.
Yeah, because like it's just he's an anomaly. Like, remember when quarantine was happening and they asked Adi, like, who's the one guy you're concerned for during quarantine? And he was like, snap call. He was like, DJ LeMahieu.
Why was he worried about him? Why?
He was like, all he does is wake up, go to the field and hit. And now he can't do that because the facility is closed and he's going to lose his mind.
Oh, yeah. Didn't you remember when they were playing Call of Duty and then the field just opened and DJ was playing with them? It was like Talkman or somebody else, Canely, and they were playing COD and he signed off. Was like, and they were talking like, where'd DJ go? He's like, oh, he found out the field opened, so he went to bed, and he's gonna get up early and go to the field the second they open.
The robot. I feel like he's just like, even in his post game interviews, like, he doesn't smile. Like, dude, you just had a great night. Can you just crack a smile? And I just want him to, but at the same time, I don't, just to keep up the mystery that is DJ LeMahieu.
Yeah. Well, my next award I was gonna give away is this is an obvious pick, the Runs in the First award. It's a recurring pick. He gets this award and he doesn't give it away to anybody else. Occasionally Tanaka gets
sometimes.
It. I was about to say occasionally Tanaka, but this one's gonna go to James Paxton. He loves Runs in the First, so he's gonna win this award for the foreseeable future until he figures it out and maybe gets the velo up a tick. Just, it's not what you like to see out of the Big Maple.
It's all right. We gotta lay off the guy. We'll figure it out.
Do you have another award?
Nah, I'm all good.
All right, well, then I'll end my awards with one more. I'm going to give it to... Who's going to get this? I got two. I'm going to pick one. I'm just going to give... I'm not a fluke award. Gio's got that. Gio's proven that he's definitely not a fluke.
Yes. Congratulations.
And I'm very happy for it.
Extremely hot take.
And I'll give the other one award. It's my last thing I'm going to say. You're better than that award. That goes to Glaber.
You're better than that award goes to Sanchez, too.
Yeah, but Glaber more. If I had one person to give that to,
yeah,
they're both slumping pretty hard, but obviously Sanchez a little more, but Glaber is definitely better than what he's currently putting out on the field. He's really not even doing that bad.
He'll be all right.
He's batting like Mendoza right now, which if you're slumping in an early season, Mendoza really isn't that bad.
It's way too early.
Yeah.
Way too early.
So you're better than that.
It's just hard. Like, what can we really expect? We can't expect all these guys to be hitting like Judge and DJR.
Yeah.
Like, we've come to expect it, but like, you can't. It's not fair, especially in 9 games.
Yeah. Well, it's late.
Yeah.
It's 1:30. The things we do for you guys. Whoever's sticking around to catch the end of this long one. This actually ran pretty long. But you guys are the real ones. Always remember to leave us a review if you like listening to us. We are doing this for you at 1:30 in the morning. I should be sleeping and doing other things that are productive with my life, but I'm sitting here talking to my friend Kev and giving out awards for you guys. So leave us a review on iTunes or Spotify. Subscribe to the show. Follow us on social if you don't already. You probably do because that's how you found this podcast. If you made it here, you found us there. Love you guys. Go Yankees.